generation without them. We don't believe in them. That's what this podcast is about.
That's technology.
We're gaining a following to spring it on people. Phones are evil.
By the way, we don't believe in technology. You never hear another podcast.
Hey, welcome. That was the start of it. We're giving a wave to maybe a video audience.
Hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Love you. You're a great man. How you guys?
I'm well.
How was your spin class today? Spintastic?
Rob joined the party.
I haven't been in way too long, and I got in there, and I was just like, it was a mess. There was choreography, I think, but I was just like, my head was down. I was pouring like a faucet, and I was just like, my glasses had fallen off my face. I could not keep my glasses on because my face was so wet. And so they were trying to like make me give high fives to the people around me, and I kept being like I couldn't see a thing. And so she's like, I think the girl was standing there like this, and I was just like. So I like put my hand out like down like to receive one.
I picture you like turn to look and your glasses fly off and hit her in the face. Like,
what is the kid from That's So Raven, Sammy, spraying Sammy? I don't know. He fits whenever he talks.
Oh, teacher?
Yeah, something like that. But he fits whenever he talks.
Yes.
And so.
That's just you with sweat.
Exactly. So I just like would turn and like sweat would be everywhere. It was a mess. I hope you all enjoyed that visual.
That's good.
It was a really fun class.
It was great.
Campfire songs with Rachel.
It was good.
Good campfire songs. That was the theme.
What was the top song?
I'm sure it's like Mumford & Sons type, like acoustic style.
I feel like more on the country vibes.
Really, for real, Skydiving was probably the...
Yeah, that was the Sanctuary song.
I went skydiving.
Live like you were dying.
How are you guys doing?
Awful.
Great.
I'm all right.
And moving on.
I think I experienced my first concussion.
Yep. Yeah. I think I gave my wife her first concussion. All right. I tried to say this.
She was to Marie can witness this.
During the party.
I came in too early.
Oh.
But so I tried to make a joke right after beating the snot out of my wife.
What?
Wow.
Don't clip that sound. Let's get the story first.
After, it was an accident, but I Three Stooges Haley. We were looking for something in, we're still renovating our house. We have one room that's full of crap.
Construction.
We have a push broom. And I, a 250-pound man, put all my weight on the bottom of a push broom and it went... And I honestly thought I either broke her front tooth, I broke her nose. Like, I didn't know where it hit.
It smacked.
I pictured, like, evenly across the whole thing and, like, broken nose, broken tooth, concussion. That's what I was, like, so paranoid about.
It was awful. And then I was still in my pain when Marie entered the picture.
With a giant ice pack to her face.
And you said, what happened? And then it clicked that that's a Three Stooges classic. And I literally was like, because I knew it was too early for a joke, but I had it. And she could tell. And she's like, you need to get out.
I was not very happy, but
I was trying to say, I Three Stooges'd my wife.
It was really sad. When I realized like the severity of the pain, I was like, I'll go back outside and leave you two to this.
Yeah.
It's fine now.
It was a high pressure party.
I noticed one thing about me. When I'm in severe pain, I need to be left alone.
Get out of the room. Yes.
I can't be talked to. I need to be left alone because nothing good will come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Did we talk about this? I knew that pain. Like, I knew that feeling when you're in pain. I don't remember if I talked about it on the podcast, but.
When your head went through a windshield?
No.
That was Frankie's head.
No, that was Frankie's fault. No, but one time I had to get a root canal and it hurt so bad, but I wanted it to be over. So I said like, rip it. Like, let's go for it. Just keep going. And so she just like
kept
going.
My feet
and
are hurting.
I was like, yeah, I was like just clenching onto the chair, like trying not to. And she finished. She's
You're
like,
saying she. Was this your mother?
Right. We couldn't afford dentists. No, so no, what ended up happening is there was a root canal that needed to happen. It was infected. And they warned me, hey, by the way, this infection might stop the Novocaine. Oh. So you might be numb everywhere but where the nerve of the tooth is. And sure enough, I was numb everywhere. And so it felt fine. And then it was like one little turn and the pain kicked on. Anyway, when she finished, I just like leaned forward and didn't talk and held my mouth. And she goes, would you like me to leave? I went, yes. Like so angrily. Like, yes, I hate you. I will forever hate you.
Of course I want you to leave. Does anyone ask you to stay after these? Why don't you come over to my house for dinner?
Yeah, so it was painful. So I knew the pain. I'm like, oh yeah, all right. I remember no talkie.
No talkie,
one who make the pain.
No jokes following.
No Three Stooges jokes either.
My show enough dentist story was I was filling out a piece of paper to get my wisdom teeth out, and I was reading through the fine print, and it said, there is possibility for potential damage to your nerves, and your face could go numb, or you're like, you could lose.
Permanently.
Like, permanently. And I was like, well, I'm here. I have to sign it. And so I signed it, and show enough, my whole bottom like jaw is numb. Like I have
still, like they
like you don't have sensation.
Yeah, they
in your
severed
jaw.
The nerves, and so like I can feel a little, like I can feel it,
that's
but
strange.
It's not like
there's Novocaine.
It's not like
the like this.
That's why I do it. no, but yeah. So like it's very it's
that's in poor taste.
Lost a lot of. You're right.
Sorry.
Anyway, so what are you guys learning these days?
Oh, man. Well, I just started. Well, I didn't start. Let's see. Podcast-wise, I sent you guys a podcast. I listened to this long 2.5-hour podcast. I think it was called, Impulsive Conversations with Logan Paul. And a pastor.
Impulsive.
Yes.
That's the name of the podcast.
But he had a couple well-known pastors on the podcast. And essentially, it was a very good back. They were having a good back-to-back conversation just about questions they had about faith and religion, Catholicism and Christianity, like all of these topics from like, it was really, really, it was done really, really well. So he was trying to prove the existence of God and in conversation, in good dialogue. And it was just done really respectably. Like, it wasn't done in, like, any poor manner. I really liked it. Mm. I thought it was a really good podcast. Very long podcast, but worth listening to. So that was the podcast I listened to. I'm reading a book that's really good, too. It's called Scary Close. By
Scary Clothes, like Halloween?
Close.
Scary Close.
Scary Close. By, what's his name?
Donald Miller.
Yeah. Donald Miller. And that one's a really good, it's almost like an autobiography book, but it's essentially about his life and how he realized how many poor behaviors he's had, like a repeated pattern in his life. And he doesn't understand why he's the way he is. And a lot of things he's discovering throughout each chapter, it goes back to a lot of childhood issues. Not even technically issues. It could have been something somebody said to you or to him in a way, but it's affected his mindset of who he was or who he is. And so it's a really, really good book, and I don't want to give away too much of it, but essentially he's going through like who he is as a person, what's encapsulating him that's like shame or guilt or fear, like something's encapsulating himself, and what's he projecting himself to the world that he's like to cover up the shame or the guilt or whatever. So there's layers he's discovering of who he is. And there's so many points in the book that I'm like taking notes, taking pictures, because it's just like, wow, this is really like for me eye-opening on how I am, because I'm like checking myself, like who am I as an individual and what do I have in myself that is just like a facade in a sense, covering up a bigger problem that I haven't like uncovered yet. Mm-hmm. Good book. Cool. So yeah, that's what I'm reading.
By the way, I was thinking we should, I'll probably start sending links as best as I can. So I should write these down, but we should start linking the books that we recommend.
Sorry, y'all.
We should get an Amazon affiliate.
We're not there yet, guys.
I don't know what that means.
It means we get money if they buy it, but we'll probably get like 10 cents. But
worth it.
Every little bit helps.
Support our nonprofit.
This is our double ping pong GoFundMe. We'll link that as well.
That's way too much.
Just kidding.
So many links.
What about you?
Good.
Jeremy.
Hello.
I was listening. I motioned with my hand. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knew who I was talking to.
What am I learning? I'm still working through getting all of emotionally healthy spirituality in here and working through it, or from here to here, from head to heart. By the way, we're in the church right now. One of the men's restroom toilet napkin dispensers just goes off randomly.
I thought it was a child screaming.
No, nope.
I thought that was a creaky door.
So if you go use the bathroom, there will be just a ribbon candy of paper towels.
All the kids are eating it.
It's great.
It's disgusting.
Just trying to absorb that a lot more. So I'm going through a devotional that's tied to the book. Mm. Working through that still. I actually got asked to preach this Sunday from Pastor Nate. He asked if I would preach, and it is really good because the test that we're preaching on is the wilderness test. Mm. And so a lot to do in emotionally healthy spirituality. He calls it the wall. So we just gotta take a bunch from that book and use it. So I'm just diving more into that to learn it. But I think there's so much in that book. I really think it would be fun for this show to do a chapter by chapter of that book and have people read it with us. I think that would be really fun.
I think so too. If you are listening and you think that would be fun, you should probably text one of us because you probably know us and have our number. You should probably let us know that you would do that.
We'll be the new Reese Witherspoon of the month club. What does she do? What's it called?
Yeah, I think it's called Reese Witherspoon's book club. Say
something,
that.
Something like Reese that.
Reese Witherspoon. Back to the lisp.
Third.
Yeah, either way, that's where I'm at. Cool. Which is great. How about you guys?
I think from life experience, what I'm learning, I think what we're both learning is the high necessity to balance just everything, but specifically relationships. We have a beautiful problem of having a lot of good friends and amazing extended family. On both sides, and we're just not balancing those relationships well. We are very focused on one group for a year, and then we drop them, and then we're very focused on, not drop them, but we're no longer focused on those relationships, and then we forget neglect our family members. So we're trying to figure out, how do we, spread that all out and make sure that it's not necessarily completely methodical and it's very genuine, but it's a good problem to have. It's just that's
finding healthy balance.
Yeah, finding balance, placing boundaries for our family.
Yeah.
That's what I'm kind of just honestly praying on right now from life experience. And then I'm not reading any books currently. I'm still in the middle of one of the books that I loved, but I lost it. So
which book?
Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus.
That's in the car.
Huh?
It's in the car. It's in the front.
The van?
Yeah. It's in the side.
Found it.
The side pocket.
I've been reading that one for months, and I loved it.
She hasn't been reading it for months. But
yes, I have not been reading.
She's been looking for it.
I was reading it for months because I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but we would go to Barnes & Noble. I found the book. I would read a chapter every time we were there, and then I wouldn't buy it, so I'd put it back. I spilled coffee on it, so then I had to buy it. And then since I bought it, I haven't really read it.
God's sign.
buy this book. Yeah, buy the
book. Maybe you should support the author.
Yeah. Well, I planned on it. We just didn't honestly have it in the budget to buy books. So I was like.
Yeah, not going to lie. I was pretty much like, it's fine. Nobody will, will get it.
But that would, I could not internally.
Imagine how long you'd be opening the book to see the coffee stain. Like, no one's buying that book. It's just.
Yeah, it was the same book, like, every time. There was only one copy, which I guess they probably, I don't know. Anyway, I was reading that book. I'm not reading that book anymore. But what I've been doing is, what I have mentioned on the podcast before is that we are hoping to write some sort of devotional book about pregnancy loss. And that's been for, like, 6 years. We've been just knowing that that's going to be a thing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, have a few notes in my phone with thoughts that I place in.
That's cool.
That's just been for 6 years. Like, there's 6 years worth of thoughts. Notes. And, like, some of them contradict each other, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But lately I've just been, like, researching, because I can speak from the women's side very well. I can speak from my own personal experience and dozens of other women's experiences, but I've been trying to find resources from the man's perspective.
He has a book. And you should check it out.
I will.
Never read it.
Perfect.
I have it ready to read.
Yeah.
But I have a list that I'm trying
to. When you're done, let it have.
Once I finish Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, I'm going to hit that book.
Let it have to.
It actually, just the back, this is the real one, is just the back, it seems like it's going to be hard to get through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, like, you read the back and you're like, I'm going to have to be in some sort of place.
Yeah, you put that at the bottom of your
seat. And it's like, I got to let this simmer. Like, it was a gift and it was a great gift. It's just trying to figure out when it's time to read it.
Yeah. It's just piece by piece.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have to try and get it done within a certain time frame because It's not going to happen that way.
Yeah.
Mm. Realistically.
It's true. Mm. So. Those aren't like one day reads.
No, they're like, okay, I'm feeling okay today.
Yeah.
I think I can try this. I can handle this. And then there's other times where I'm like, I've noticed too, where I'm already emotionally a mess. I'm like, okay, why not? Let's just dwell in it. but then
which helps you process. Helps.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's what I'm like looking into right now.
That's cool.
Is, yeah, I feel like the men, everyone's neglected in that situation, But the men in particular neglect themselves and are neglected even by their spouses. So.
Yeah.
And their churches. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looking into that.
One thing about that. Is I am reading a book currently called Rescuing Ambition. And I just listened to a chapter today that was all about how sometimes we feel a call of God in our lives, like so many of the biblical heroes, and then they had to wait. It happened again in the bathroom. We all heard it, except for you guys. So.
Sorry, everyone.
But in the chapter, it was just talking through their different, how long they waited for each of their callings to happen. And that sometimes during the waiting period is where God basically kind of perfects our ambition for the task.
Mm.
So he's given us a task, and our ambition at the beginning might be off a little bit. Not that it's meant to be, but either way, through the patience and through the waiting for it, he perfects that ambition for it. That way, when it's time to do it, everything is in place and everything's right. I don't know. It was just an interesting thought. But I don't know. While he was listening to it, I'm not saying your ambitions are off. I'm saying that I just know for a fact and am inspired by the fact that you are. And have held on to so strongly, and you've never wavered from, I know I'm gonna write this book. And it's been 6 years, and you're like, I'm gonna write this book. And like we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm right there with you, and I entirely believe that. But
maybe
we're just
someday
in that,
before I die.
We're just in that waiting
hurry
period.
Up and clue chat AI in and finish it.
No, just thanks. Put all the notes that I have in and see what it comes up with.
Yeah.
It would do a great job.
Scary
it
probably times. Would.
If you're giving all the input, no, it's not scary. If you're putting all the input in,
there's just no creativity. It's just,
that's not true. She's put in 6 years worth of her own thoughts and research.
I disagree.
It will just
with that.
Put it in.
I think it's important too when you get behind a keyboard because sometimes your thoughts can, like, more thoughts can.
This is just what she said when I wrote an anniversary song using AI and she didn't care about it. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen.
I was like,
Marie's like, I agree. Yeah, yeah, no,
I was like, especially since you can write really beautiful songs.
I took a.
You did write me a song.
I took a chapter out of Ben Hastings' book.
Wait, now I'm questioning you. Did you write that?
Wasn't, that
wasn't. Oh. He did write me an anniversary song, and it's really nice.
Maybe we'll
play it sometime, but we'll that's only if someone asks for it.
Well, Marie raises her hand.
No, that's just for me. That's just for me.
Okay.
Anyways, Rob, what are you learning?
Well, I'm learning that.
Yeah.
I'm also that. Oh, please forgive me.
I have a big head.
Nice posture. Yeah,
I
there you go.
Be good.
So this past Saturday. I was invited to a men's breakfast in Burlington, Massachusetts, I believe. And I got to kind of basically meet a guy that I've been, an author that I've been reading for quite a while, listening to his videos and like following. And it was really, really cool. Like I got to shake his hand, ask him some questions. He recommended a book, which I'm reading right now. It's the one I just referenced. But it was all just about... It was just about being a man, masculinity, and what biblically that looks like, and just how to apply it to today, and what are we doing right, what are we doing wrong, and it was just an encouraging speech to kind of bolster kind of like the men in the room. It was really, really great, and he just mentioned something about glory that intrigued me, that stopped me for a second. And there's just something in that I'm kind of going after. He mentioned something to the effect of that man is the glory of God, and that woman is the glory of man. And that sometimes people look at that and they're like, why is that such a bad, like everybody hates that. Like, why does woman have to be the glory of man? But in reality, he like stopped for a second. He's like, really think about that. The glory of man. Like, how wonderful is that? Like, why are we looking at it as negative? They're the glory of men, of the man. And just like we are the glory of God. And there's something beautiful about it. And then he kind of went further and further about glory for a minute. And there's just something there that turns to action, that he related to this idea of we are glory bearers as Christians, which means that we are the glory of God as people, and through our actions and the things that we think, say, and do, the closer we image God, the more glory I feel like he gets, you know? And so it's,
yeah, that's good.
And there's just this, there's a connection between all of them that I'm trying to just figure out, which is it. So I asked him about it. I just said, is there anywhere that you've compiled all of this information, that did you write anything on glory and what your thoughts are on it? And he said, no, but I recommend this book. And so I'm listening to this book and I'm about halfway through, and I'll tell you all about it when it clicks. I will, I promise.
It all makes sense.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, when you started that, saying that you had a men's breakfast, in my mind, it was like you were going to see Bill Nye the Science Guy. I don't know.
A men's
really thought so really thought it was Bill Nye, huh?
I don't know.
He loves breakfast.
Oh, sorry. The guy's name is Doug Wilson. You wanted to look him up, he's got
not Bill Nye.
It's Doug. Yeah. but yeah, he's got a publishing company called Canon Plus, or is it? It's Canon Plus, right?
Canon I think. Press.
Minus. Canon Press, and then he's got a streaming platform that is all Christian based and all of that called Canon Plus. That's just got great content. But
that's cool.
Anyway, just lots and lots of good stuff.
That's cool.
It was great.
That's nice.
I felt him walk into the room, not gonna lie.
When he was recounting the morning to me, he had tears in his eyes. Like when his eyes got bloodshot immediately.
Doug, if you're listening to this,
I love you.
Disregard.
Isn't he so wonderful?
I love you.
No, for real. He walked into the room and I literally felt it. The way that he like walked into the room so confidently, like I was like, the air just shook.
Oh my God.
It was all in my head, I swear.
But yeah, Rob was the one, like, especially since he for sure, like, you have for sure listened to him speak in person before in high school.
Yeah, but I didn't know who he was at that point.
Yeah. So anyway.
Good stuff, guys.
It was his heart fluttering.
It was the butterflies you get when you...
Doug. Douglas.
I neither regret, deny, or affirm what you're saying.
Oh, man. That's so good.
But I may regret it.
Well, there's no way to transition out of that. Thought I had something, didn't. But we had someone who listens to the show kind of reach out about something. I think this episode, we're going to dive into that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Pulling it up right now.
Because talking about what we learned was a pretty good conversation. It's true.
What? I missed something.
We're not good at bullet pointing.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so yeah, it's yeah. like... Oh, hit on what we're learning and then get into yeah. this. And it's like 25 minutes later. So it's like, we're going to dive into this.
I guess we have multiple topics question. In one topic.
So, talk about it.
Yeah, no worries. So, Rick, who has been a long time listener, right?
All 10 episodes.
Well, from the very beginning, no. But he's been listening since then, and we've known it, and we've called him out. We've done a shout out before for Rick, but he recently he just recently texted us that he was super excited that he got another notification, and I asked him if there was anything that he wished that we would talk about, any conversation that he wished we would tackle, and he said the following. Sorry,
That's what he wants.
Are you gonna
us
read
to
the
talk
whole
about?
Thing?
I wasn't gonna read the whole thing.
Just
I was
summarize
trying,
what he was gonna.
I won't be able to do that well. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
I can't see. No, you go for it.
Okay.
For it.
You go for it. run for
My
it.
My name is Rob. Sorry.
He said, "Just something that I've been thinking about is how much of our everyday life, like moment to moment, that God has an effect on." Obviously, he gives us breath, but where does the spiritual realm and free will divide? I'm not sure that makes sense, but it's just something I've been thinking about for most of 2024 and haven't had anybody to really talk it through with. And then I asked him for maybe a little bit more, just, hey, if we talk about this, is there anything more that you want to get out? And he said, I'm not really sure why I've been thinking this way lately, but I know that God has blessed me just to have air in my lungs. I know his hand of protection is on me every day. Beyond that, how much of the everyday does he control, or is it the choices we make to turn left or right that causes the final outcome? This may be confusing the way that I'm relaying it, but I want to give you at least one example. God gives me the breath and strength in my body to get up every day, but I choose to set my alarm for 4 a.m. to give myself time to read the word and still work two jobs. The dedication to... I did
that. That made a weird sound.
Did make a weird noise.
Oh, I didn't hear
I held
it.
My finger on the message too long. To the two jobs, the dedication to this work ethic has led me to some success and connected me with some amazing people.
I hope he's okay with you sharing all
He
of
is.
This.
I asked him.
Okay. Sorry.
I asked him. Sorry if there was any miscommunication, Rick, but I'm halfway through and I shouldn't stop now. I'm wondering if all those decisions are something God has put inside of me to lead me to where I'm meant to be, or if these moments, these successes are because of my work ethic and drive. I question this because no matter how much you believe in God, we all know if we sit on the couch and hope and pray for a bag of resources to fall in our lap, it's probably not going to happen. Not that God can't do that. And does this mean God blesses us for our efforts? Or is it just because if we make good choices, or is it just because we make good choices with our free will? And does the same thing relate to non-believers? I hope that makes a little sense. And obviously I was just using work as an example. This could relate to every aspect of life.
Yeah that's
Thank
good.
You, Rick.
So many thoughts
That's
are
really good.
Through my
Those
brain.
Good questions, really deep questions and good thoughts.
Yeah.
So
right,
he wants
hit,
to go first.
Hit some out. You just said so many.
Yeah. Obviously, he's questioning free will.
Right.
a kind of different direction than I thought he
was
going
to ask. Maybe
we should
break down what free will is. Like, some people might not know what free will is.
Do you have control over your choices, yes or no?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I view free will.
Like, yeah.
Is God a puppeteer?
Or right.
Is God, does God create us and allow us to make choices?
Right. Right.
So the first thought that I have is like, because I'm a parent, I think of everything firstly, just by default, through a parental lens. Mm. So like, as God our Father, like this could very much not be true, but my first thought is like, I, as a mother, have children that I know very well, more than they know themselves, which God, like the same can be said of God. God knows me more than I know myself. And if I were to place choices in front of my kids, 9 times out of 10, I know what they're going to choose. Mm. And so, like, there's no better way for me to word it right now, but, like, I could manipulate scenarios for them to do what I want them to do without telling them to do that
thing.
Yeah,
right.
And so, like...
I couldn't do that.
Yes, you could.
Yeah.
But, like...
You could. No, I couldn't.
You can, because, I mean, they're toddler age and a little older, so it's not hard to do. So, like, to think about, like, God, who's so much larger and knows all things.
I feel like we've done that as parents a few times. We really want a certain ice cream. Be like, oh, you want this one because it has the good stuff in it.
Yeah. You want it.
It's like Santa Claus, right? Like, you get the chocolate chip with extra chocolate chip cookies because Santa Claus likes that kind of cookie.
But it's because I like it.
But you don't tell the kids that. Anyways, back to your point.
So, yeah, that's just kind of how... That's not the whole picture. But I think, like, also what Rick was kind of speaking about through his personal life is, like, one thing we have to consider is that God's not just looking at our singular life. He's looking at the kingdom. And so there's millions of people within this kingdom. And so he's not just thinking about... me sitting on the couch not doing anything. Like, he's not orchestrating things within time and circumstances for merely my benefit. He's doing it for the kingdom's benefit. And so the way I see it is, God's not a puppeteer. He is very aware of his children, and he knows how things can impact us. So I really don't know if those are complete thoughts, but, like, that's kind of just the beginning of where I'm at.
Yeah, and to kind of piggyback on that, I think, too, when we choose to make good work ethic a part of our character, and we choose to do the things that we know scripturally are what God asks of us, he does bless us in those things. There is rewards for that. Like, I mean, I think in Colossians... I mentioned this at one point, Colossians 3, like, when you work heartily for the Lord and not for men, he does bless you. And I think God, if we look at that scope too, when we are working hard for the Lord, not of men, God will bless that.
Yeah.
You want to know what's... Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No, I was just going to make a weird observation that everything that we do right now is like, we want to automate things so we don't have to think about it. God doesn't automate things like that. Mm. Like, he really does. He doesn't, like, have like a checkbox that's like, hey, if this person does this, go ahead and just send it. Like, have an angel just be like, just go ahead and send them to do this kind of thing, or make sure you bless them like this. And it's not automated. It's like he's right there with us through it all. And it's like, and the blessing comes from him. I don't know. It's just kind of cool.
Well, you think of like thing. Adam and Eve, like, they had the choice to obey God or not. And they chose not to. And God was sad. He was like, why did you do that? Like, he desires a relational aspect of our lives with him where we are doing things for God, and not just doing things for God, but our character and our heart is set on God's will, not our own will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's two things that I feel like Rick might potentially be talking about. Two is not just the idea of free will, but also the idea of God's will.
His sovereignty.
And how does it play into my life, which we were talking about today.
Yeah, we were.
Even, but in regards to free will, why I believe strongly in it is because we can see throughout the Bible, God guiding really broken people through things, them failing, him having a new solution for them, them failing, him having a new solution, just trying to get them to move.
Yeah, and even using things. Them through their imperfections.
Yeah. Like
King Solomon with his a ton of wives.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, even still.
But there was, used. But the guy, Hugh, the one in, no, Jackman. The, Hugh Jackman, no, Hugh Ross, I think, is the guy who's who wrote the book that I'm reading right now of the cosmology of God and all that. He has a very strong view of free will has to exist because God wants a strong love, a strong love. And without free will, if you have a weak will, you'll have a weak love. Mm. But you need a strong sense of free will in order to choose to love God, because God wouldn't be content making us love him. If we didn't have free will, everyone would love God. Like, everyone would just, you'd wake up and you'd be like, God exists and I love him.
And that's the relational aspect of God.
But like, God doesn't, you know, there's an old song by a band, by a band called The Arrows, and they're really tacky, but they have some lyrics that I think are really good, but they have this song called Robots. And that's the whole idea of the song, is like, you don't want robots, you want us to love you. And we can't love you well if we're all robots. That's just why I believe it's too obvious in the Bible that people are messing up everything.
Well, that's what I was going to say too. Like, without free will, we wouldn't have sin, right?
Yeah, right.
Because with the fallen nature of man, it was from their choice, and that's from their free will. Right. And so we'd live in a utopia, really, if we didn't have free will and choices to make. And so we would see so many different things in this kingdom.
I kind of feel like free will is almost like the paint medium that God is using to show his love to the world. So like through free will and his sovereignty around it, he's able to still paint beautiful pictures out of it. And I think one thing that relates to the whole glory aspect that I was kind of talking about before is that if man is the glory of God, think about that moment in history in the future where we all make it to heaven and we've all witnessed the beauty of God. We're all under the same understanding that God absolutely loves us. He's orchestrated everything to the place that it is right now. There's no doubt in anybody's mind. And all these people, the people that are in heaven, are the people that have chosen to love him. And that's his glory.
Yeah.
Think about the glory that is. Like, to know as a people, as mankind, we've chosen to love God.
I feel like,
and
too,
I think
when we're
that's
there,
beautiful.
Yeah, thinking about that picture, like, we did it. Like, we did it together. Like, you know, like, that's kind of a really cool picture to think about. Like, that was a tough road, but we did it.
And
like,
that's his glory. Because really, he did it.
Yeah.
And we just let go.
And but like, we let go, but we also encouraged each other. We helped each other. And like, that's what God is. Like, that's the family. Ooh, I'm sorry. That's like the family picture of like what God has designed.
Yeah.
Well, there is a level of ownership within that too. When you think about the scripture of like, well done, like, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea that we get to hear that, which will probably be the most absolute wrecking.
Yeah, that would wreck me.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's gonna wreck.
I just feel like there's
just like how Doug Willis wrecked you.
Obviously, there's
his name is Doug Wilson.
Oh, what did I say?
You said Willis.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Doug Willis. Wilson.
But either way, just thinking through the idea of like you'll walk through that judgment, but then to have that moment of like, but here's where you carried my name and here's where you did this. Well done. Yeah. Well done. You know, like that idea is like really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool to think about.
I think one thing to piggyback on that, and this is something that I've been working personally with and in my own life, is that one thing I think we tend to neglect is what is the first, like, we need to love God with all our heart before like anything else. That's the first command. And like, sometimes I think this is me, this is coming from my personal life, where I get caught up in like, oh, am I doing enough for God? Am I making the best choices for God? Am I doing all these things? But in reality, am I loving God enough? Am I just loving him? And like that kind of hurts me sometimes because I get so like, I just get so caught up in actions and all the things that I'm supposed to be doing as a servant, because I am a servant, but I'm also his daughter. And I need to remember, I need to love my father. And I think sometimes we forget those things because that ultimately is our number one purpose, is to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, body, strength, everything.
Yeah. I think there's a danger in the just the acts of service to God, because it starts to like gear your mind toward acknowledgement from God rather than if you're being driven by love, it's the affection that you find, like just acknowledgement versus affection. Yeah. And I think God obviously offers both to us, but seeking the affection of God might just be a better engine.
I think it's harder too, because pride can follow in looking for acknowledgement and recognition. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a dangerous trap we can get into when we don't even like subconsciously are aware of it.
Yeah. So the other aspect of what I feel like the question is also how much is God orchestrating? Right? That's what I got a glimpse of in that question. It's like, when I wake up at 4 a.m., is that because God put it in me to do it, or that I chose to do it? And I think there's a couple things that I think we have to realize. If we start to think we understand something about God, we don't have it figured out. So there's always an aspect like, if you think you get it, then it's not what God functions in.
Yeah.
That's just like
how it works. And any analogy is going to fall short.
And any analogy, yeah. So like the idea of if I'm, I don't know if this is a worth enough tangent, but it's going to be the tangent I go down, of the idea of how God wants us to make decisions, but he already knows all those decisions, and how we try and figure that out. And we all come up with the idea of like, oh, so we're all just puppets. But if you're a 2D person, right? If you're a stick figure on a piece of paper and somehow you have life in you and you can tell that you're a 2D figure, when I as a 3D person pick up a pen and go to write on the piece of paper, they're saying that pen is growing right now. That pen is increasing in size every second. What's happening? Because they don't realize that I'm moving back and forth. I'm getting closer and farther away because I can function in a space that they can't. And they'll always be like, that's growing and shrinking, not coming closer and farther from me. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when we think about, we live in time as this linear space. And so we're like, oh, well, if God knows all my choices, if I knew all the choices, then I know I'm manipulating people to make those choices. Okay, but you're still functioning within time moving forward, and God does not function that way. He's a two-way, he's a two-time dimensional God. Like he works both forward and backwards. He can, and he works in all eternity. And so we can't figure that out. There's no figuring out what that looks like for him.
But there is a certain level of trust that we can have, because the Bible and everything we know about God displays him as a good, faithful, loving God, and that he is love. And if there's anybody that we could trust to have that kind of power, it's not something that we should fear, because because it's our God and he is good.
Yeah.
Doug Wilson actually explains the way that he believes.
I love you, Doug.
There are so many. God forbid he ever listens to this. it would be so embarrassing, but I do love you, Doug.
He has a tattoo right on his forearm.
But anyway, the way that he explains it is, and once again, there are many different views of this, but this is the way that it's been explained to me, that it's kind of like a Shakespeare and Hamlet situation where God is Shakespeare and Hamlet is a full-on written-out story. does Hamlet have to make all of those decisions? I mean, basic, they're written down. They're basically there. But does that mean that Shakespeare forced them to do them? No, because in the moment, like in those situations, knowing who Hamlet is, that's exactly what he would do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you're still Hamlet. Like, you're still that person. And this is who you are. So, yes, this is it, logically, this is what you would do. So, yeah. I mean, does that take away from who God is? No. Does that take away from who you are? No. There's an aspect of understanding that we are the clay and he's the potter. Mm-hmm. So that's another part that we have to understand. But yes, there's free will and there's beauty in free will. God uses this free will in order to bring about this beautiful gloriousness at the end of time, mm-hmm. Which he sees, which we don't always see. And so sometimes if there's something put in our way or if like, we don't understand why things are happening, there is a trust that we can have in a God who sees something that's beautiful at the other end. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's just like when people use the argument that you are what you are brought up in, like your environment is who you are. Mm. But there are so many people out there that have grown up in poor, horrible environments, and they question, why did this happen to me? But there are people that have walked through that and continue to live that life. They stay in that place and they dwell in that, and they live the rest of their life like that. But there are many other people too that have chosen to make the steps to change how their environment has crafted them to be. And they've gone against the grain. Mm. And I think that has a lot to do with renewing your mind. Mm. And a lot of that comes from too, because we are made like God. We are made in his image. So when we cast off all of what the world has done to us and we take on Christ and we renew our mind, we can change patterns and behaviors and how we do things.
Yeah, that just goes directly against the whole idea that that we are just chemical reactions happening. Mm-hmm. There is a certain aspect of us that is a spiritual aspect mm-hmm. that helps us, that either in where we make choices, whether to follow after something, to give up, or to go away from something. And like, it's not just chemical reactions. We are we have so many different parts of us as human beings.
For sure.
So answer the question as literally as you can, all right? When I wake up in the morning and decide to read my Bible before I go to work, is that because God had me do it or because I chose to do it? Like, how did he work in that process?
I think what's beautiful about it, this sounded like a politician answer because I didn't answer it directly.
Is yes.
No. What's beautiful about it is that it was written that way, yes, but you still decided to do it. And that wasn't basically God saying, you're going to do this. It's just he knows you so well that you did it.
I picture God as like
it's a circle.
I picture God as like he's a circle. It goes on and on. I picture God like when you're showing when you're showing your friends a movie you love. I just always picture God like having a heavenly host being like, "Hey, I love this part. Hey, I love this part. Watch this. Yeah. I love this part." Like when we choose to do something that glorifies him, it's like, oh my gosh, I love this part. Like he knows it's coming. He knows it's working, but he still is a God that's like in it with you. You know what I mean?
This
is
the part where Rob trips up the stairs and nobody's around.
Check oh my gosh, out. Guys, I love this part. Watch this.
Me replaying
angels
sam falling down your stairs all the time.
Yeah. That is the beautiful... the beautiful part in it.
I think there's so many answers to it, but like the first thing that pops into my mind is like the language that pops up into my mind is God permits it. Mm-hmm. Like he has given us the ability to. One of the cool things that it was probably like an Instagram reel or something, but I saw that one of the way that your brain works, I guess, like studies have been done where anxiety and gratitude have a really hard time coexisting at the same time.
Yes, I believe that.
I've seen that.
So like, not saying that Rick has this problem, but if someone is having anxiety over, am I a puppet? Am I a robot? Like, what's the point of life if I'm not making these choices? Is there free will or is there not? Because I feel like some people, even Christians, are like, what is the point if like I can't answer this question? Don't be anxious about it. Be grateful for the breath that God has given you. Be grateful for the 4 a.m. alarm to read his word and to commune with him. Because then any anxiety about questions that we don't have clear answers to will be wiped away, because he's created us in a way where anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist easily. So if you're constantly fighting anxiety, and not like just like debilitating anxiety, but just anxious thoughts, with gratitude, it's just a lot better.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong either with questioning those big things. I mean, I think we all do it, but when you hold on to it with anxiousness, as Marie was saying, you know, that's where you lose the sight of just the beauty of what God has created and what he's been able to allow in our lives.
Yeah, that's good. I think, you know, we were talking about today. One thing that I think about is this sermon I heard like forever ago that stuck with me for a long time. But it was this, which the sermon doesn't exist. I think it was too controversial. It was taken down.
I don't know.
Oh. Just shut up and keep talking. Is that what you're saying? Perfect.
Shut up and keep talking.
Yeah. Just sorry. It was taken down, but the title was God's Will is Whatever. And it's this idea of God's will is whatever. It's whatever. And he tried to play it off like this idea. And then he's like, let me talk about why God's will is whatever. Because we have lenses that God has given us to look at life through and make decisions through. And so we have scripture. We have to look at all of our decisions through the lens of scripture. Is this something scripture says I should or shouldn't be doing? Right? So that's the first lens. Then the lens of the Holy Spirit within you. And so you put that lens over it as well. All right, well, the Holy Spirit in me, I feel like, is prompting me to do this. All right, put that through the previous lens again. Is that against scripture? All right, that's not the Holy Spirit. Like, that's not in God's will. I just felt something. So I want to test that spirit. And then he talks about the spiritual influences in your life, your pastor, your friends that you know have a good walk. If they say, hey, you know, I see something in you that might be amazing, it could be this. All right, is the Holy Spirit saying that to me? Does scripture say that's allowed? And so he writes it on these like window panes and is talking through it. And he said, a lot of people think God's will is here. You're getting all this information on the bottom window panes and you got to figure out which one is God's will. Mm. But then he opens the window panes and so it puts all of them into one lens. He said, if you are within scripture, within your convictions, and within your spiritual leaders around you, God's will is whatever's happening because you're using those lenses. And if you're just seeking to glorify God, you're going to be walking right into his will. And there's no one will that you're going to miss or miss out on or, oh, this is the thing that I need to be doing. This is my huge moment. Like, those things aren't important. What's important is living life through those lenses and just letting that be how you structure your life.
But the key point to that too is the act of humbling yourself in obedience, right? Because like, you can't just expect it to happen without when sitting back and watching it fall into place. Like,
right.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's not how it works. Like you have to take action steps in obedience to what God has for you. And sometimes it is trial and error, you know? Sometimes you do make the wrong path and that's life.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, if it's aligning to scripture and in God's will.
I think if we think that covers that question, I have a potential follow-up question that might be good for a part two.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Perfect.
But when it comes to free will and sovereignty of God, the whole question of, why does God allow evil to happen? Like, if he's sovereign, why is this stuff happening?
I could go on and on about that, but I think we should save it for part two.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know where you guys were thinking we could start that conversation now.
For part two, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Next episode, we will get... All right.
Sorry. There you go. Marie's gonna talk us out.
That was supposed to be the double ping pong song.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.